First of all, I offer my sastang dandavat puspanjali. My heart like flowers thousands and thousands of times at the lotus feet of Asmadeya Parma Radhatama Guru Pada Parma Nitya Lila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pada Ashtotara Satasisimad Rupanu Vitarivarya Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayana Goswami Maharaj. Secondly, offer my pranam thousands and thousands of times at the lotus feet of my Param Gurudev and his Guru and his Guru and all the members of the Sri Rupanuga Gaudiya Guru Parampara. And thirdly, offer my pranam to my dear brothers and sisters and all Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. Now come with me. There in Godrumdweep, the island of Godrumdweep, on the bank of the Jalangi River, there is the forest grove of Prem Das Babaji Maharaj. And his disciple,
его ученик,
Sanyasi Thakur,
Sanyasi Thakur,
inquiring from his Gurudev,
он задает вопросы Гурудева,
about the nature of the soul.
О природе души.
Already,
уже
the subject matter of Naimittika Dharma.
Уже мы обсудили тему Наймитика Дхармы.
The religious activities,
религиозные деятельности,
which are not directly related to the soul,
не имеют непосредственного отношения к душе,
but related to our physical body and mind.
Телу и уму.
They have been discussed.
Они были обсуждены.
Srila Prem Das Babaji described three types of ego.
Три вида эго.
Three types of ahankar.
Три вида ахамкара.
The word ego in Sanskrit is ahankara.
Слово эго на санскрите означает ахамкара.
It comes from two words.
Происходит из
Aham.
Aham
means I.
Я.
Кара.
Кара.
Do.
Совершаю.
I am doing.
Я делаю.
This is ahankara.
Это ахамкара.
So three types of ahankara. First is called
shuddha ahankara.
Pure ego.
Чистое эго.
We don't want to be completely free from ego.
Полностью свободными от эго.
Because our soul is eternally an individual. We are persons.
И мы личности.
We are eternal individual persons.
И мы вечные индивидуальные личности.
So that is the shuddha ego.
Это шуда эго.
The spiritual identity.
Духовная идентификация.
The second type of ego, when the soul is covered by the material mind, then the ego comes, that I am the enjoyer of my karmas. I should act in such a way to enjoy the fruit. Whatever I do is for my enjoyment. Or the extended enjoyment of my family,
все,
country, society.
So,
this second type of ego arises from the covering of the mind. Then the third type of ego arises from the covering of the physical body, the gross body. So two bodies, Linga Sharira is the mind. And Stool Sharira, the physical body. The physical body may be male or female. Then the mind thinks I am male or female. The physical body may be Indian, Russian, English. Then the mind thinks I am of that nation. The gross physical body. This is quite easy to understand. Bhumir in Gita, Krishna said, Bhumir apuana lobayu kama no buddhi evacha ahankara iti amme vina prakriti astadha. Physical body is made of five gross elements. Earth, the solid portion of the body. Water, the liquid portions of the body. Fire, especially this Manipurak chakra in the stomach, this represents the element of fire. when you put food inside, this fire is the fire of digestion.
Огонь пищеварения начинает работать.
And burns the food and releases energy to the whole body. So the lowest chakra, Muladhara chakra, is the center of the energy of earth. And in the lowest part there is evacuation of solid.
И нижняя часть это как из освобождения всех.
Then Swadhisthana chakra is the element of water.
Как называется?
And it corresponds to the genital.
Element воды,
water, liquids is evacuated from the body. Then Manipura chakra in the stomach, fire. This fire of digestion. And then Anahata chakra, heart, air. All of the prana, the life air, moving within the body.
Воздушные потоки двигаются в теле.
Is that energy is focused in the heart?
Эта энергия сфокусирована в сердце.
And there, the atma,
и там атма,
is floating on the prana,
на пране,
in the heart,
в сердце.
In Mundaka Upanishad, it's described,
описывается,
Eisho nor atma, Chetasa Veditavya. Yasmin prana panchada samvishesha pranachitam saravam otam prajanam yasmin vishuddhe bhavatesh atma. Means that atma, the soul, the self, is tiny, atomic, and it is floating on prana in the region of the heart. So the function, that means the vritti, the function of consciousness of the soul is reflected in the first material covering of the soul called citta. And then the function of the citta is carried throughout the body by the prana. So there are 72,000 pranic channels in the body. And the function of consciousness is carried by the prana everywhere throughout the body. So you feel, then you feel, I am this body. Because I can feel my fingers and toes and nose, everything. So this is me. But yasmin vishuddhe bhavatesh atma. If the citta, the first material covering of the soul, can be separated from the contamination of prana, then you can realize that you are atma and not the physical body. The problem is when the senses touch this world, they touch the objects of tamagun and rajagun. And then this tamasic and rajasic, passionate and ignorant energy, enters the prana and then is carried to the citta. And then your citta is polluted. So every time you try to enjoy this world through the senses, you are filling the citta with the tamasic and rajasic energy. So they cannot understand the soul. So when the citta is no longer contaminated by prana, and citta becomes pure, then the soul can see himself reflected in the citta. Then you can know yourself. So, we were speaking yesterday about humility. The practical sign of humility is to give up all sense gratification. This is the practical sign of humility. Because if a person is very humble, they don't think, I am the enjoyer, I am the servant. So I will not try to enjoy the objects of the senses. Why? Who am I? I am not king. I am not Indra, the king of heaven, that I should enjoy everything.
чтобы наслаждаться всем здесь.
Я там servant of Gurudev. Servant of Krishna.
Всего лишь слуга Кришны.
So the practical sign of humility is to give up all sense gratification. But we cannot check the senses from acting. We cannot stop them. But the objects of the senses should be transcendental. So the ears are engaged in hearing the sound of Krishna's name. Always, continuously chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. The eyes are engaged in seeing the deity. The tongue is engaged in tasting, but not tasting anything which is not offered to Krishna. First you offer to Krishna, then taste. This is the taste of prasada, God's mercy. In this way, when the senses are used, but only in the activities of bhakti, then the tamas and rajas, the lower energies, they don't enter into the chitta. And gradually, here you can say chitta means mind. Gradually the mind becomes free from contamination of the physical world. Free from contamination of prana. And then you can realize, I am Atma, I am the soul. But, another wonderful thing, if you are engaged in bhakti, then you will realize that here, in the anahata chakra, in your heart, you are not alone. In Svetashvata Upanishad and in other Upanishads as well. Because this verse is not only in one place in the Vedas, you can find it in several places. In Kata Upanishad. There it is stated. Dva Suparna Sayuja Viaya Samana Vriksham Parishashvajate. There is a tree. And on one, on the same branch of this tree, there are two birds. One bird is trying to eat the fruit, which is sometimes sweet and sometimes bitter. And the other bird is his friend, only watching him and waiting. He's ignoring me completely. Only interested in eating fruit. When will he turn to face me? So when the bird who is trying to taste the fruit and taste many bitter things especially, if he will give up this and turn towards his friend, then that bird will become happy forever. Hey, what does it mean? The tree means this body. And the branch is the heart. And on the branch of the heart, two birds. One is you, and other is Paramatma. God is also there. Don't think that in this body there is only one soul. You. No, there are two. But you are trying to taste the fruit of this tree. To enjoy the senses of this body. But mainly the fruit is bitter. You know, you cannot remember when you were born. But the babies, they don't come out laughing. They come out crying. To be in the womb is painful. To be born is painful. Then, you have to go to school. You want to go again back to school? No? No, absolutely not. Oh, then again, you have to fall in love for the first time and your heart will be broken. You want to go through that again? Gradually you try to become successful. But what happens? Old age comes. And many diseases come and attack. Anyone cannot avoid it.
Никто не может этого избежать.
Now you are happy, you can walk around. Maybe the last 20 or 25 years of your life you can hardly walk. You can hardly see, you can hardly eat, hear. Everything, pain, everywhere. This means that the soul has no old age. But the bird is tasting the bitter fruit of the tree. No one wants to tell you these things.
Никто не хочет вам говорить эти вещи.
Because in this world, everyone is trying to sell you something.
Все стараются вам что-то продать.
So they'll not tell you the truth.
Они не скажут вам истину.
Only who is really your friend,
actually your friend,
and wants nothing from you will tell you the truth and reality of life.
Скажет тебе настоящую правду из любви.
So many bitter fruits on this tree.
Как много горьких плодов на этом дереве.
But.
Но.
How wonderful it is.
Насколько это прекрасно.
If we can turn our attention to the other bird, that means Paramatma. We are Atma, but there is Paramatma, Supreme
Atma.
God is also there. If we learn the art, how to stop trying to taste the fruits and turn our attention to God in the heart, then
you
will become completely happy. Even old age, disease, and death, these things, they cannot touch your happiness. Because you have realized you are not this physical body. Because, just like a person is having a nightmare, when they wake up, then no problem. So when we wake up to our soul's identity, then there is no distress of this world. Only ananda, only joy. Everywhere joy. So also in Vedanta Sutra, there, clearly it is stated, Goham Pavishtav Atmanohi. Goham means cave. Pravistav means two have entered. Atmanohi. They are both Atmas. So sometimes people think that Vedanta is a monistic philosophy. That Vedanta teaches everything is one. And this world is only illusion. This world is not illusion. The world is real. The illusion is in our perception of the world. Understand? There's a big difference. Many people say, oh, everything is one. World is illusion. Does not really exist. This is called Vivartavad. Philosophy of illusion. Mayavad. This is not true. The world is there. Exists. But the way that we are perceiving the world is we have an illusory perception of the world. So, Vedanta does not tell all things are one. Vedanta tells, Guham Pravistav Atmanohi, two souls are living in the secret cave of the heart. One is you. And other is Supreme Lord. So if a person, they are humble, and they don't try to enjoy the world, but they try to use this body and senses in the service of God, then all senses become purified. And you can realize you are the soul. And you can also turn to your friend and have the darshan, see God at every moment. Always. God is the Satchidananda, the embodiment of all joy. If you will always behold the form of joy, then you will be full of joy. You will be happy. This is only true happiness. The relationship of the soul with God. Other than this, there is no actually satisfying happiness to be found. So Shastra says, Kasmad Gurum Prapadyaita Jigyashu Shayam Uttamam. Someone who is Jigyashu means inquisitive. Someone who is inquisitive, who wants to know the truth. Tasmat gurum prapadeta. In a humble mood, they should submit themselves to the guidance and teaching of Guru. Who is Guru? Kiva vipa kiva nasi sutta kaninai. Say Krishna tatmaveta, say Guru hai. One who has realized God is called Guru. And one who has realized God in a very easy way can teach you also how you can realize God. So our life is for this. This is actual education that gives benefits now and in the future also. Mature education. You will learn so many things. And after some time you will also forget. It will not give any permanent benefits. But spiritual education, even if you don't become perfect in this life, in your next life you will continue from where you left off. There's no loss at all. It is 100% profit and no loss. And the mature education and mature activities, they are 100% loss. Lose everything.
No profit.
So, we have discussed about the illusory, ignorant activities of the conditioned souls. Now, Babaji Maharaj will explain Vaishnav Dharma. Vaishnav Dharma. He said, the various types of dharma, or religious activities, or occupations, which are propagated in the world, are divided into three categories. Nitya dharma, that is the eternal occupation of the soul. Naimittik dharma, a religion, which is circumstantial. Some religious duties based on your physical identity. And anitya dharma, impermanent religion. For example, the nitya dharma, the eternal religion or occupation of the soul, is to serve Krishna. Naimittik dharma means your duties in society. So in the Vedic culture, this dharma, though it is temporary, related to yourself, it is also an eternal dharma in the sense that every time the universe is created and then destroyed and then created again, this Vedic dharma appears each time. So the Vedic dharma, it is always there in the world when the world is created. So in that sense it is a sanatan. But the activities of that Vedic dharma are temporary related to you. So it's naimittik. For example, if you are a husband, you have some duties within the Vedic society to do. If you are a wife, you have some duties to do. If you are a Brahmin priest, you have some duties. If you are a king, you have some duties. So all these duties within the Vedic society, the duties themselves are eternal, they're always manifest in the world. But your engagement in them will depend on your karma. If you're born as man, then you have to do the male's duties. If you're born as woman, the female's duties. If you're born as the king's duties. If you are Brahmin, then you have to do the priest's duties like this. So in this sense, they're called naimittik dharma or circumstantial dharma. Then there is anitya dharma. Anitya dharma means someone invented some religious practice and others are following. This does not happen all the time in the material world. It happens with that particular Anitya Dharma. For example, about 900 years ago, then the Govind Singh, Guru Govind Singh, they started the Sikh religion.
Guru Govind, короче, Sikhism.
But this Sikh religion is not eternal Vedic Dharma. Only it came now, 900 years ago, and it will exist for some time and then disappear. Essentially, those who are now Sikhs, their ancestors were Hindus. But Muslims invaded India. So one sect of Hindus became very like warriors to fight against the Muslims who were killing cows, killing Brahmanas and destroying Vedic culture. So they made a religion where they wear steel here and here. They carry a knife all the time. Like this. So as a reaction to something happening in this material world, one Anitya Dharma manifests. It was to counteract another Anitya Dharma. The Islam of Muhammad. It is came about circumstantially. So, these are faiths. Sikh religion, Islamic religion, Christian religion, these are faiths.
Islam, Sikhism, and so on.
We are not concerned with the circumstantial faith. We are only concerned with the degree to which the Nitya Dharma is present within them. You understand? Nitya Dharma is pure loving service to God. So, in the vehicle of Islam, in the vehicle of Christianity, a person may adopt the spirit, oh God, I am your servant, I will only serve you. And that is bhakti. So the degree to which bhakti is there, it is acceptable. But if someone is practicing any faith with ulterior motives, so the element of bhakti is present, not present, then it is Anitya Dharma.
Это тогда называется Анитья Дхарма.
Understand?
Понимаете?
Now.
Теперь.
You're saying Anitya Dharma is religion that does not speak about the existence of Ishvara, God, and does not accept the eternality of the Atma. Like Buddhism is an example. They don't believe that Atma even exists. They think inside is what? Shunya, emptiness. And there is no God. So he said here, Nitya Dharma, the eternal religion, may be known by different names according to differences in country, in race and language. However, Nitya Dharma is one.
Нити дармы есть одна.
Just like gold.
Подобно тому, как золото.
There's no such thing as American gold, Russian gold, Indian gold. Gold is gold.
Или какое-то еще золото.
So true religion, dharma, is one.
И вот таким
it is bhakti, devotion to God.
Истинная религия Господа, она одна.
But gold may sometimes become impure. 18 karat gold, not pure gold. There's something mixed in. So when the pure dharma becomes mixed with other desires, according to the circumstances in history, it looks like another religion. But there are not many religions. There's only one religion. Praying, love for God. So, the ideal example of Nitya Dharma was taught by Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu.
Now, Sannyasi Thakur folded his hands. said, I constantly witness in the association of Vaishnavas the excellence of Nitya Dharma, pure devotion. And I understand that the teaching of Shankara Acharya, that is Mayavad, that all things are one, everything is one. This teaching is the contemptible. Contemptible. It should not be respected. It's not respectable. But still, something has come in my mind. And I want to open my heart to you and tell you about it. I don't want to hide anything. I understand that Mahabhava, the highest state of prayer, in that there is oneness.
You know?
Radharani saying, Naso Ramana Naham Ramani. Krishna is not my beloved. I am not his lover. Our hearts have mixed together and become one. So, said, I understand Mahabhava is the highest state of prema. But is that Mahabhava different from Advaita Siddhi? That means the attainment of the feeling of oneness, which is attained by some yogis and jnanis and mayavadis. So, when Paramahamsa Babaji heard the name of Shankara Acharya, then he folded his hands and gave pranam. So, many of you, I just took there to Joshimath, remember? In the foothills of the Himalayas. And there we went to the place, the tree, under which Shankara Acharya sat and became enlightened. So Shankara Acharya is one of the most influential teachers in history of India. From the year 778 to 820 AD. He was very influential in India. So hearing the name of Shankara Acharya, Babaji Maharaj gave pranam and said, respected sir, Shankara Shankara Sakshat, Shankara Acharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva directly. He is none other than Mahadev. You should always remember this. Shankara Acharya is Guru for the Vaishnavas, for the devotees. And for this reason, Mahaprabhu called him Acharya. Acharya means one who teaches others by his own example. So you should know that Shankara Acharya was a perfect Vaishnava. Very surprising. He said, at the time of Shankara's appearance in India, there was a great need for a person like him. Why? Because at that time, in the 8th century India, the study of the Vedas and the Varnashram Dharma was almost completely stopped. Because the Buddhism had spread everywhere in India, and Vedic philosophy almost disappeared. So, Shunyavad, the philosophy of emptiness, empty your mind. You should not empty your mind. You cannot empty your mind. Impossible. You should fill your mind with the transcendental thoughts. Not just try to empty it of material thoughts. So, Shunyavad, the philosophy of emptiness, goes against the recognition of God being a personality. God being a personality. Bhakti. Devotion entails.
Преданность.
Thinking about reality.
Думать о реальности.
Not as something, but as someone.
Не как о чем-то, но как о ком-то.
When we think of reality, we think, what is this thing? Reality is something.
Что это такое? Мы думаем, что реальность это что-то.
Reality is someone.
Это кто-то, а не что-то.
As you are a person.
Как
reality itself is personal.
Сама по себе, но тоже персональная.
As you have feelings.
Как подобно тому, как у вас есть чувства.
So reality.
Реальность.
Has feelings also.
Тоже имеет чувства.
So bhakti entails the change of mood.
И бхакти заставляет меняться ваше настроение.
Ignorance means to ignore.
Невежество означает игнорировать.
Ignorance means to ignore. Behind everything we see there is a person.
Let's
ignore that person. This is ignorance.
За всем этим стоит личность.
So he's saying here that Shunyavad, if you say everything is empty, this is directly opposed to the principle of accepting the personality of reality. Without personality, there cannot be love. Because love is a relationship between two personalities. So, Buddhism is an extreme example of Anitya Dharma. So the Brahmin priests of that era had given up Vedic Dharma and practically they were following Buddhism. At that time, Lord Shiva incarnated in this world as Shankar. And he was extremely powerful. He left this world at age 32.
Оставил этот мир 832 году.
When he was
32.
When he was 32 years old.
Когда ему было?
In the year 820.
820. 820
means 820
году, когда ему было
32. But he took sannyas. Became a sannyasi at age 9.
Но он стал саньяси в возрасте 9 лет.
9 years old when he took dandava and became sannyasi.
Ему было 9 лет, когда он принял саньясу.
And he traveled and preached everywhere. By the age of
32,
there was practically not one Buddhist left in India. Everyone was again following Vedic Dharma. And those who didn't want to follow Vedic Dharma, they traveled from India through the Tibet and Nepal and Thailand, and they went to China. Buddhism came to China, and then Buddhism came to Japan eventually. But it was practically removed from India by the influence of one extremely powerful person, Shankaracharya. And he, what he did was he established the authority of the Vedas. But he did not change the philosophy so much. He adjusted Shunyavad, the philosophy of emptiness, and on the basis of the Vedas called it Brahmavad. So Buddhism and Brahmavad are very similar. But Brahmavad is based on statements of the Vedas. So he said, the work of Shankaracharya was of tremendous benefit to the human race. And then, once Shankar had established the Praman, that means the evidence of the Vedas, that we should refer to the mantras of the Vedas as authority for understanding transcendental things. Then, about 200 years later, Ramanujacharya appeared. And he really strongly spoke about bhakti. And then, again, gradually, most of India, they became practitioners of bhakti yoga, yoga of devotion. So, he's saying here that Shankaracharya really was a devotee. And he wrote many poems. Bhajagovinda, Bhajagovinda, Bhajagovinda Madhavate. Oh, my foolish mind. Don't waste your time learning Sanskrit grammar.
Sanskrit grammatical.
Do bhajan of Govinda. do bhajan of Govind.
Это означает.
That at that time there were many scholars.
В то время было очень много ученых.
And they were trying to understand the Vedas by grammatical interpretation.
Грамматическими интерпретациями.
But the Vedas cannot be understood by Sanskrit grammar. They can only be realized by one who engages their all senses in the service of God. So he was saying this. But still, in every tradition, sampradaya, there should be some devotees who know Sanskrit. Otherwise, the teaching will be lost because all the scriptures are in Sanskrit. So,
итак,
here,
здесь,
Бабджи Махарадж is saying
говорит,
that there are many common points between the teaching of Shankaracharya, Brahmavad, and our Vaishnava philosophy. First of all, both accept that the soul is completely distinct from material energy. Completely distinct. Give an example.
Приводите такой пример.
One Christian theologian.
Один христианский теолог.
Thomas Aquinas.
Thomas Aquinas.
Aquinas.
Yeah, in Russian.
Фома
Аквинский. So, he said that there are two types of souls.
Он сказал, что
human souls and animal souls.
Есть два типа души, животное и человеческое.
Why?
Почему?
He was not able to make a complete distinction between the matter and spirit. One whose consciousness is pure, and they've made a complete distinction between matter and spirit. They know that the spirit is completely transcendental. And all the souls, they are of that transcendental nature. Only the coverings, the bodies are different. So there's no such thing as human soul and animal soul. Only there's Atma soul. But the bodies are different according to karma. Some souls are born in the human body. If they will eat animals, kill animals and eat them, then they will, as the karma, they will have to then take birth as animals. And someone will also, that animal will become human and eat them. This is why in Sanskrit, the word for meat is mamsa.
Mamsa.
Mam means me, and sa means he. Mamsa. I am eating him, and then he will eat me. This is called mamsa. See, Sanskrit is a beautiful language. All the, even in the words, the individual words are full of philosophical reality. Also in English, the word meat. Me plus eat makes meat.
Me and eat означает
me eat, eat me.
Я ем, едят меня.
So Sanskrit is saying mamsa. So,
итак,
all the souls,
все души,
they are the same quality.
Они имеют единое качество.
Only the bodies are different.
Всего лишь тела у них отличаются.
And according to karma, some souls have taken birth in the body of an animal. And so their capacities are limited to the abilities of that animal body. After some lifetimes, the fish, they may become reptiles. The reptiles may become mammals. And if the soul will become monkey, then in the next life, they can be a human being in tamagun, mode of ignorance. If the soul will be in the body of a lion, next time they can be a human being in the mode of passion. If the body will, the soul will be in the body of a cow, next life they can be a human being in
tamagun.
So from different animals, the souls are progressing, and they become human beings. So, Shankaracharya And also the Vaishnavism. But the soul is completely different from the body. There are not different types of souls. And also, they accept that mukti, liberation, entails being disconnected completely from the physical world. So up until the point of liberation, there's a complete agreement between Shankaracharya and Vaishnavism. However, and Shankar even taught that the worship of Krishna is the best method to attain liberation. But what happens after liberation? On this Shankar was silent. He did not say anything positive or negative. So in relation to this world after liberation, what Shankar taught and Bhakti, same. Shankaracharya knew perfectly well that if someone wanted liberation and they are told you can get liberation by doing bhakti, then they would engage in bhakti, and by serving Krishna they would feel so much pleasure that they would give up the desire for liberation and become pure devotees. So we see that very often those who think everything is one, but they hear the best way to get liberation is to do bhakti, they begin to do kirtan. Now it's very popular, especially if you go to California. There, in all the yoga schools, everyone is doing kirtan. Why? They want nirvana. They want nirvana, liberation. But after some time, they feel so much happiness from doing kirtan. Govinda jai jai, Gopala jai jai. They forget about nirvana. And they don't know. So this was the trick of Shankaracharya. Nice deleting it. Are there any questions? We'll finish our discussion of Jiva Dharma now, and we'll continue tomorrow morning. In the evening, we'll discuss Bhajan Rahasya. So are there any questions?
And will you explain next further this one is between Radha and Krishna in more
yes.
details?
Now we're in chapter 2, and Mahabhava Radharani will be in about chapter
37.
Oh, here, no, sorry, chapter 36.
36.
If we have not understood this world, then how will we understand that world? Don't try to realize that world. First try to realize this world. Wake up here. You know, once my Gurudev's guru, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Kesha Maharaj, he was at one festival. So some devotees came there. And they were not advanced. But they were singing very high kirtans.
No.
They were singing one kirtan.
Oh,
Rai Kanu. This is very affectionate names for Radha and Krishna. Rai and Kanu. Oh, Rai Kanu. Wake up, wake up. Because in this kirtan, it's describing how the maid servants of Radha and Krishna, they go in the kunj. Actually, Radha Krishna already awake. But they're so, they're embracing each other and so attached to each other, they don't want to let go. But soon the sun will rise and people will be moving around. So they have to go quickly to their homes. Undiscovered, otherwise someone will discover that they've been away the whole night. And they'll think, what are you doing? So the maid servants of Radha Krishna, they come. Oh, please get up, get up. The night is over now. So they were singing this kirtan. So my Guru's Guru, he came to them. He said, before you try to wake up Radha Krishna, you yourself wake up. If you yourself you're not awake, how will you wake up Radha Krishna? So first yourself be awake. If you are feeling I am this body, you become angry, lusty, hungry, thirsty, quarreling with others, then first wake up. Be God conscious here in this world. That means you realize I am not dua,
чакшитва.
I am only observing. This body is doing so many things. I am not doing anything. I am
Atma.
Become Atmanevantmana Tushta, satisfied. Free from all material desires. And seeing this world. What?
Зачем?
Now you're thinking.
Сейчас вы думаете.
Oh, here is one person, another
здесь
person.
Один, второй, третий.
And the world is going.
И мир так вот.
All все, by accident, by chance.
Чередом, как-то хаотично.
It's not the pure vision.
Это не чистое видение.
You know, once Krishna expanded himself and became many, many cowherd boys. Became all cowboys and cows also. But no one could understand it. So in the same way, right now, Lord Vishnu has become many people. One, two, three, four, all sitting in front of me. Only Lord Vishnu playing so many roles. And inside each form of Lord Vishnu, there is one soul thinking, I am that form. I am that form, this form, you are this form, like this. So in Vedic culture, whenever you meet someone,
Namaskar,
you bow down.
Why?
What is the benefit of bowing before a person who is in
ignorance?
If you bow down to your guru, you can become enlightened because guru is enlightened. But what is the value of bowing down to a person who is in maya, in illusion? No value. So why are we giving namaskar to everyone? We are not. We are giving namaskar to Lord Vishnu in the heart of everyone. We respect everyone. Why? Because Krishna is there. So first see this. Mahaprabhu said, Amani na mana dena. Give respect to everyone. Why? Jive saman dive jani Krishna adhishtan. Jive saman dive jani Krishna adhishtan. Respect everyone. What? Krishna is there. If you are seeing Krishna in everyone, then you will not disrespect that person. You will not try to exploit that person. Become servant. Then all the problems, all domestic problems, all social problems, all national and international problems, everything will be resolved in one day. If such education will be there in this world, true Vedic spiritual education, all problems.
Все проблемы будут решены. Очень важно.
So please.
И пожалуйста.
Give your life in the service of Krishna.
Посвятите свою жизнь служению Кришне.
It is the best thing for you.
Это лучшее для вас.
And the best thing for the whole world.
И также для всего мира.
Become God conscious yourself.
Создавать Господа сами.
And then help others.
И тогда помогайте другим.
I want that all our students here.
Я хочу, чтобы все наши студенты здесь.
They will learn from Rig Veda.
Purusha
Sukta.
You know?
Sahasrasi sa purusa sahasraksya sahasapate sabhumin visvato vritta atyatishta dasangulam purusa evedagam sarvam yadbhutam yatchabhavyam bhutam nitatvasti shanah yadannena tirohuti. Very beautiful Vedic prayers. To be foundation. Our Gaudiya Vaishnavism is not separate from the Vedas. You're not separate from the Vedas.
Mm-hmm.
Vedas are the basis. And Gaudiya Vaishnavism is the crown jewel on the top of all Vedic knowledge. So the mantras of the Vedas, they are Swata Siddha Gyan. Swata Siddha Gyan means self-manifest knowledge. If you only say these mantras, the transcendental knowledge will come automatically. Automatically. So this mantra Purusha Sukta is describing the truth of this world. The one Purush, Lord Vishnu, has manifested many bodies everywhere. And jivas are inside them. And in great detail, all the aspects of the universe are described in such a way. If you utter these mantras every day, you can hear our Brahmin voice in the Sanskrit school. Always, many mantras, practicing every day. If you utter every day, then you become aware. Awake here in this world. And your mind pure. Then you can start to think about the spiritual world. If you try to think about the spiritual world with impure consciousness, then your idea of Krishna and Radha and Gopis, it will be corrupt. You will think of material activities. Material desires will come. And you will not have taste. You will hear a pastime of Krishna. Next time you hear, you think, I heard this pastime. Why? Because you have a material idea. If your conception is pure, and you hear a pastime, you have taste in this. Next time you hear it, more taste. You know, I heard this last time.
Yeah?
It means your consciousness is impure. When your mind is pure, what to speak of hearing Krishna's pastimes? Every time you say, Hare Krishna, more sweet. Again, Hare Krishna, more sweet. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Every time you say each name of the mantra, you experience more and more sweetness. So, as part of our Sanskrit class, the devotees will learn Purusha Sukta. It's necessary to chant at the time of Abhishek of the deities. You know, we have just done the Abhishek and installation of your deities. When you do Abhishek, you have to say Purusha Sukta. But the one who is doing the snan, he has to say the mantras for the snan. So others, they have to chant Purusha Sukta. So I'd like some devotees can learn. Then, especially in India, if you perform Abhishek and devotees are chanting Purusha Sukta properly, then, everyone will be very astonished and have faith, develop faith, and then they can enter into Gaudiya
Vaishnavism. Right.
So, any other questions?
Майявада у Брамавад.
Oh, this is the thing. He's saying here Брамавад.
Здесь говорится Брамавад.
But his literature.
Но его литература.
Is very.
Очень.
The mysterious.
Мистическая.
And the actual ideas of Mayavad were developed later in the next generation on the basis of Shankara's teaching.
На базе учения Шанкарачарья.
What is really Mayavad?
Что является действительно Mayavadой?
So,
итак,
Vigyan Bhikshu.
Vigyan Bhikshu.
And another one.
И другая.
They interpreted Shankaracharya's teachings in two ways. Pratibimbavad.
Remember
I told you Pratibimbavad? And Parichchedyavad. These were the interpretation, Mayavad interpretations of Shankar's teachings.
Yeah.
Actually, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. This is not Shankar's own words.
Это не слова Шанкарачарьи.
This is coming later as an interpretation of Shankaracharya's teaching.
Это учение Шанкарачарьи. Понимаешь?
Very good question.
Адвайтачарья и Шанкарачарья получается одна и та же личность. Когда Господь Чайтанья его наказал, Адвайта Ачарья что проповедовал? Майявада, когда он его тогда пришел, Шантипура начал убивать. Ну, как бы, видите, на так.
So, Шанкарачарья and Адвайта Ачарья, they are one person, and Дивакара is going further. He's telling, and when Чайтанья Махапрабху punished Адвайта Ачарья for his teaching, was it?
When? No.
Когда?
Mahaprabhu, he was beating Advaita
Acharya.
Because he was giving some impersonal explanation of Gita based on Yoga
Vashishtha.
Put this.
Same
Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya is Lord Shiva.
Yes,
and Shankaracharya is also Lord Shiva.
We can say this.
Sadashiv. Sadashiv means
actually
Vishnu Tattva.
Vishnu Tattva.
So sometimes he said Advaita Acharya is
Mahavishnu.
And sometimes he said he is Lord Shiva.
Means Sadashiv. Означает Sadashiv.
You see, Mahavishnu has two aspects.
У него два аспекта.
The Mahavishnu who glances at the material energy. He is the Nimitta Karan. He is the Adhishtatri Devata of the Nimitta aspect of Maya.
Nimitta aspect of Maya.
That Karnadakshay Vishnu is the Adhishtatri Devata of the Nimitta aspect of Maya. But he has an expansion, the other Mahavishnu. He is the Adhishtatri Devata of the Upadan aspect of Maya. Upadan aspect of Maya. This is Advaita Acharya. And he is Sadashiv, known as
Sadashiv.
It's described in Chaitanya Charamrita.
Chaitanya Bhagavata.
After